Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I was all teed up to preach about fornication this morning, but I see that there are children among us, so I'll change my sermon. That's a joke, just in case that wasn't clear. Just a couple of things about me as a preacher. I said this at 8 o'clock, or a version of this. Sometimes we preachers get so focused on the gospel, especially during a busy week like this, where Drew, my wife here in the second row, and I drove 3 days from Danville, Virginia to be here for the month, that we don't look at the full breadth of the elections for the day. And so I missed the golden opportunity to preach my first sermon here from the Old Testament about the gazelles and the leaping and all of that stuff. So I will say off the cuff that that's why we're here, the two of us. This is a cathedral to us, the Jackson Valley, Jackson Hole, the mountains and the animals and all of those things. And I'm so enthused to see that your church has, or maybe it's the diocese, has its own Eucharistic prayer that talks about those things. And I'm inspired to go back and write one for my new diocese, the Diocese of Southern Virginia. So we'll see if our bishop will allow such a thing. You'll hear a little bit more about me in a while, but I will say this because I want to say it with some gusto. And Haley mentioned this at the announcements at 8 o'clock, which makes me think of it now, and that is, I am the only Episcopal priest in the world that is a certified wildlife tracker. Yeah. So, afterwards, if you want to come with me, we'll go traipse around and make some tracks or find some tracks. So great fun doing that. It's like a whole, they say when you're middle-aged, you should take up a foreign language to exercise your brain. And I'm here to tell you that that kind of thing is a foreign language. I'm here to tell you. You can see little tick marks on a tree and the evaluator will ask you, who made that mark? And you have no idea. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it was a locust or something like that. And you learn, and you learn. So, any rate, on to this morning's homily as it was prepared by your preacher. This morning's homily is brought to us by the Pharisees, your favorite antibacterial hand gel. And I was provided with a prop, which I've never had before. So our favorite this morning is the Kroger brand advanced heel sanitizer with aloe and vitamin E. So, and if I remember, I will ritualistically use this before giving you communion. Not each of you, but before I get started. So, and then also, importantly, the letter H, which stands for hypocrisy. As you know, I hope, hypocrisy is the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. I won't ask for a show of hands if any of you are hypocrites or know one, but I'm going to guess that if I did, and if people were being honest, that there might be more than one or two hands go up. A few fun facts. A recent study by the American Society of Microbiology showed that 97% of females and 92% of males say they wash their hands. Of those, only 75% of females and 58% of males actually do. It gets worse. 50% of middle school and high school students say they wash their hands. Of that, only 33% of females, and can you guess how many of the boys? There are some little boys here. I won't ask their mothers to out them, but let's just say it's 8%. So you are right to inquire as to whether or not your son has washed his hands, because the odds are against him. If you're a parent or a grandparent, I wonder if you remember teaching your children to wash their hands. I don't think there's a toddler on the planet that enjoys washing his or her hands as well or as long as we're told that we should. Parents, grandparents, teachers, and other caregivers, go to great lengths sometimes to get kids to do a good job washing their hands. I remember teaching our daughter and saying that you need to do a good doctor job of washing your hands, and holding her hands in my hands as we would wash her hands. And that seemed to work for a while. But I don't ever think I tried to suggest to her that God wanted her to wash her hands, or that God required that she wash her hands. I didn't do what the Pharisees did. These days, it is simply good hygiene or good common sense to wash your hands, especially in flu season, right? But then again, I'm not a Pharisee, at least not about hand washing. When we 21st century first world Christians hear this morning's gospel lesson, we have to be especially careful that we don't think about our own experience or understanding of hand washing, which is most definitely not what this gospel lesson was about, and what they believed hand washing was about as it relates to this lesson. What the Pharisees were really talking about was a ritualistic way of washing one's hands that was part of their own Pharisaic cultural tradition or custom. The New Revised Standard Version translates it as the tradition of the elders. And it wasn't really about hygiene at all. It was a human custom, a cultural tradition. And what Jesus was doing here was rejecting the human customs of the Pharisees, which he viewed as hypocritical and self-serving. The religious elites of the day, who were really just the elites of society at that time, set up and maintained certain customs and practices, which they claimed were necessary to maintain cultural or ritualistic purity. Generally speaking, though, only the upper classes were able to keep those cultural purity laws. To quote two of my favorite scholars as it regards this matter, Bruce Molina and Richard Rohrbaugh, they say, "Keeping purity laws was a near impossibility for peasant farmers who may not have the required water for ritual baths, or for fishermen who came in constant contact with dead fish and the like. It was also very difficult for people who traveled about, such as Jesus and his disciples." And I'll ad lib here. I would imagine some of us are old enough to remember when we didn't have hand gel in any size, much less the pocket size, which when you're out hiking, when it's time for your lunch, you could use on your hands. We just ate our lunch, right? And we were fine, right? So what Jesus challenged here was these made-up customs and practices, and he went on to further his argument by pointing out the hypocritical nature of the Pharisees as it regards their parents, their own parents. This morning's gospel lesson is a little chopped up, you may have noticed. It's Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, and then skipping to 14 and 15, and then skipping again to 21 through 23. For some reason, maybe for length, the lectionary chooses to leave out verses 9 through 13, which serve to illustrate the hypocrisy of the Pharisees as Mark tells the story. So what I'd like to do is read you what's left out. And what I'll do first is start with the two verses just before what's left out, and then read you what's left out. So what you heard me say just a minute ago was, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrine. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." And then he continues, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your own tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever speaks evil of the father or mother must surely die. But you say," the Pharisees say, "that if anyone tells father or mother, whatever support you might have had for me is korban, that is, an offering to God or given to God. Then you no longer permit doing anything for a father or a mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on. And you do many things like this, Jesus said. According to the law of Moses, which they believed was God's word, God's law, you were to care for your parents, honor your father and mother. Another of my favorite scholars, Tom Wright, says, the man-made Pharisaic tradition going on here can be compared to a cunning tax accountant. Hope there aren't any tax accountants out there. Can be compared to a cunning tax accountant finding a loophole in the law which enables someone to get away with paying no tax. What the Pharisees had done was to create a loophole which stated that if you declared that your property belonged to God, you were freed from your obligation to care for your mother and father. That's what among the things that the Pharisees did. So I should have asked the kids to stop paying attention at that point, because you know they might try to create some kind of a new rule that would cheat you parents. So Jesus was pointing out to the Pharisees and to his followers that the Pharisees were really just self-serving hypocrites who created traditions which only they could really practice and maintain, thereby excluding others, and then on the other hand, created ways around the obligations which were actually understood as being from God. So, the letter H, hypocrisy. It's been a human shortcoming since Adam and Eve, throughout human history, even today. The real question might be, do we ever recognize the hypocrite staring at us from the mirror? I know I don't always do that, and I should. And if we do, what do we do about that? Do we change our behavior, our own customs? I could probably create one about my own driving habits, but I won't do that. How have I become a Pharisee of my own day? That is a place to start. That is a place to start to changing the world, right in the mirror, and then work outward from there. The old hymn goes, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And so the challenge for myself, and as a preacher most often I would say, and most preachers, if they were honest, would probably say they're very often preaching to themselves the things that they probably need to hear. So, for myself, I know that if I get in too big a hurry, metaphorically or otherwise, I can get a little tunnel visioned into my own stuff, my own life, my own concerns, and not take the time to say hello, to recognize the Christ that is in the other, to seek and serve that person and that the Christ that is within them. And so among all the many challenges that we have as people of faith, one of them is to not be a Pharisee of that day or this day, of our own creation or of the creation of our culture. And so as we honor the beauty that is all around us, the leaping gazelles, or in this case, the pronghorn, my prayer for us is that we can be as Christ-like as we possibly can be. The current lingo, I think, is to be our best selves. So as we go forth this morning into this beautiful day, into this beautiful cathedral beyond us, let us all be the best self that we can be the Christ-like person that we are. Amen.